principle of Joel, and the work to which I want to refer on page 36 is number 1 up at the top of the page. Would you please mark it in your notes? Oh, I've already had you do that. And I was in the act of mentioning 2 things about the book of Joel as a whole that the Puget Commentary helped me in comprehending. One was that God's judgments are a mighty miracle. Then the second help is the progressive nature of God's judgment. Now, look at this little diagram that I have formed. And I formed it in terms of how Houston helped me in understanding the passage. The first, you have the locust. Then on the second step, you have the heathen army of Joel's death. Then on the top step, you have the final judgment of the end time. And you see how this diagram is designed to show that it gets progressively worse. Somebody might say, you take that awful locust invasion. And you see, that's one reason why the book of Joel gives you the breakdown on that and just describes the awful devastation. Why all those details? You see, it's showing how terrible is the judgment of God in the present. But look, this is far worse than this, the heathen army in the future. And this is far worse than this. You see the idea? Now, one thing I'm trying to illustrate by these references to Puget Commentary is the importance of reading a commentary telescopically. Not just microscopically, but telescopically. The way the average person reads a commentary is like this. He has a particular verse that he doesn't understand, so he goes to the commentary for that particular verse. Now, I'm not against that. Provided you don't use that as your exclusive approach. You know how people often complain, the commentary told me everything except what I wanted to know. You know, often the commentary will skip over the very thing you're having the greatest problem with. There's different reasons for that. But one reason he seems to do it is that often he has already dealt with that in another section. So he takes for granted you read it and you have it, see? Well, if anybody writes a commentary, you've got to remember the way folks abuse commentary. But don't you abuse it. In other words, suppose you're preaching on just a certain limited scripture. You may find great help, and of course this depends on the time you have, just by glancing quickly through the commentary on the other part of that book. I realize if it's a very long book like Jeremiah or Psalms, you wouldn't use it in exactly the same way. But what I'm saying is, don't just use commentaries microscopically for help on individual problems. Use them telescopically. And that's one advantage I found from Puget. He helped me telescopically on the whole book of Joel. For our additional principles in the study of Joel, the one that I want to mention is this. Read the book of Joel in the light of current events and current trends. Read the book of Joel in the light of current events and current trends. I believe that that means to say that Joel is unusually appropriate in the light of current events. Joel sheds much light upon current events. Now, one value of the book lies in the fact that it helps us to read the newspaper in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. You see, the book of Joel isn't divorced from your reading the newspaper. I want to ask you. Wonder how many of you have ever definitely asked the Lord to help you to read the newspaper in a way that's pleasing to Him? Well, now, I'm not asking you to try to be religious in a strange way, as though you just have to make yourself think of the Lord every time you read something in the newspaper. I believe one value of the newspaper is its relaxation. And my wife spends a great deal of time each day in her prayer life. And I'm always happy when I see her reading the newspaper for just a few minutes, and usually it's very few minutes, believe me, relatively speaking. But I think it's a great blessing in the relaxation. And you may think I'm unspiritual. I don't. I just enjoy the sport page. That old paper 3 years has fallen open. That's a sport page. And it just still falls open there, you know, and I wonder if we'll have a sport page in heaven. I don't know. But it's personally done. And relaxation, and I believe that's a blessing. And I'm not asking to try to explain it being religious in the wrong way. But what I'm saying is this. Have you ever just definitely asked the Lord to help you to read the newspapers in a way for you? Somebody mentioned this to me a few months ago. I just mentioned, do you ever pray when you read the newspaper? God says, pray for those in the fire. Well, one of the simplest times to do it is when you read the newspaper about those who are in the fire. And do you ever pray when you read the newspaper? Now, I want to give two suggestions which should help us to read Joel in the light of current events and current trends. Our first one is to read Joel in the light of current events and current trends. All right, now, how would you do it? I want to give you this challenge first before I make the suggestion. The challenge is that time and again, when you read the newspaper about some calamity, like a hurricane or a heathen army, a war or something, just quickly reread the book of Joel with this question in mind. How much does the book of Joel help you to enter in a new way into this present calamity? All right, now here are the two suggestions. The first is parallel the desolation caused by the insect locust of Joel's letter. Parallel the desolation caused by the insect locust of Joel's letter with the desolation caused by the human locust of our day. Let me say it again. Parallel the desolation caused by the insect locust of Joel's day with the desolation caused by the human locust of our day. Now you realize one thing that made that locust invasion so effective as the springboard for preaching was that that locust desolation was a picture of spiritual desolation. Just imagine you go out and see that and you say, whew, we just don't seem to have anything left. God saying that's what the picture is spiritually. Israel, Judah, spiritually is like that. See, and that outward desolation was just a picture of inward desolation. That's what God often has to do. We don't see outward. We don't see inward desolation by itself. And God often, you take a forest fire. Have you ever looked at a forest fire and saw that as a picture of the awful state of affairs in America? America's like that. It's just been burned as by a forest fire. Now, in order to make that practical, I want to read Joel 1, verse 4, as it's written in the Bible. Then I want to paraphrase it. You know, paraphrase is putting your own words to show the parallel to spiritual desolation at the present time. Listen to both of these. Joel 1, 4, which describes the desolation left by the insect locust. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. And there's a picture of awful desolation caused by the locust. Now, let me paraphrase it, putting my own words, to show the parallel between that and the spiritual desolation of the present time. That which modernism hath left hath neo-orthodoxy eaten. And that which neo-orthodoxy hath left hath neo-evangelicalism eaten. And that which neo-evangelicalism hath left has psychiatrical victory eaten. Now this is my purpose to go into detail as to what is neo-orthodoxy and what is neo-evangelicalism and what is psychiatrical victory. But it is my purpose to parallel the awful desolation caused by the physical locust of Joel's day and the spiritual desolation caused by the human locust of our day. May I just say again, all this is written in here. Look out on the Church of Christ today. It doesn't mean God isn't doing anything. God's very active. But all I want to tell you, young people, there's great desolation in the Church of Jesus Christ today. This isn't pessimism. This is reality. This is truth. Listen to it again. That which modernism hath left hath neo-orthodoxy eaten. And that which neo-orthodoxy hath left hath neo-evangelicalism eaten. And that which neo-evangelicalism hath left hath psychiatrical victory eaten. And then later we can go into detail as to what constitutes or does not constitute some of those very things. Now my second suggestion, which helps us to read Joel in the light of current events and current trends, is this. Read Joel in order to see the blessed side of present calamity. You see, I've been talking about the sad side of present calamity. That's one side. Ah, but there's another side. And that's the blessed side of present calamity. Look, all of the locusts seem to be a great tragedy. Joel could say, blessed locusts, because of the sovereignty of God. Now just apply that in today. An earthquake seems to be a great tragedy. But because of the sovereignty of God, we can say, blessed earthquake. A hurricane seems to be a great tragedy. But because of the sovereignty of God, we can say, blessed hurricane. Now, if you can't say blessed hurricane, then you haven't gotten the message of Joel. If I can't say blessed hurricane, you say terrible hurricane. Yeah, but only one side of it. Because of the sovereignty of God, we can say blessed. Although a drought seems to be a great tragedy, because of God's sovereignty, we can say blessed God. Why? A riot seems to be a great tragedy. But because of the sovereignty of God, we can say blessed riot. You notice now they're fine in Chicago, leaders of that revolt at the Democratic Convention over a year ago. You've been reading about it in the papers. The rioting, they're fine, those men now, 8 leaders. And I don't know what will happen in terms of it. But you know, we say, oh, aren't the riots awful? That's one side of it. The other side of it is blessed riot. Blessed riot. Because even that riot's under God's sovereign control. Foreign invasion. Russia is ready to invade other countries. Invaded Hungary, invaded Czechoslovakia. Terrible. Yeah. But blessed invasion. Because the sovereignty of God. Young people, when you read of a great tragedy, as it's pictured in the newspaper, reread the book of Joel. And just ask yourself, how does it really help me to get into the meaning of this present tragedy? I hope the book of Joel means more in your life now than it meant before. On page 37, we begin our study of Amos with the first principle,